And Mark will have it up on the screen as well. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Now here you go. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also, Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. All right, there you go. I won't do that again. Just this one time we're going to go through that. Don't try to torture me again, all right? I won't be torturing you as well. Well, these men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, and said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when they had come up and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Now here we go, some more torture here. Then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogyllium. The next day we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he could not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. That's difficult, isn't it? And we need to ask the Lord's blessing upon us and pray that the Lord would give us his eyes to see what, and our ears to hear what God has for us. Because I didn't just randomly choose this passage to preach. We are going through the book of Acts, right, as a church. And so we're going to come to difficult passages that are going to be hard for you, for the pastor, but also might be hard for you as well. And so together as a family of God, we need to ask the Lord's blessing. I believe that there's three activities that are in this passage of Scripture that are necessity, that are necessities in a believer's life that will be a great encouragement to you, for you to find strength in the Lord. So join me as I pray. Lord, we are thankful to you that we can join together, gather together as a church, worship you as we look to your word. And Lord, we need you. We need you to help us, to speak to our hearts, to give us eyes to see. Open our eyes, as we read in Psalm 119, to wondrous things in your law, in your word. May we hear what you have to say. May we not become like Eutychus, who fell asleep, Lord. But may we be attentive to your word. May your spirit make these words come alive to each of us. Transform our hearts. Make us obedient, O God, to your word. Instruct us and keep us close to you. I pray your blessing upon each one here, upon the members who faithfully attend each Sunday, upon our attenders, and I also want to ask, O God, that you bless those who visit with us today, that they would be blessed as well. Pray for your blessing upon those who will be watching this service from home. Lord, bless them. I pray for those who maybe might be ill and do not have the strength to rise up and come to church on Sunday. May you encourage them, strengthen them, and I pray you heal them so that they can come to church, Lord. But I pray, God, that whether they're here or at home, may they be encouraged by the hearing of your word today. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people say, amen. And so in Paul's quest to travel to these different areas that he's going to, these areas that I mentioned and these gentlemen who are with Paul, these are all places that he's planted churches already. And so he's going to take this traveling that he's doing is for a purpose. He's going to strengthen these churches. He's going to pour his life into them. And in Paul's heart and mind, this is his third missionary journey, his third or his fourth missionary journey, where it's coming to a close. He eventually is heading to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, he doesn't think that he's going to be alive much longer. He thinks his number's up, and he's coming to the end of his life. And so these are all new churches, church plants that he's going to go to. And he's going to pour his heart into them. He loves the church, and he's going to instruct them and encourage them to keep pressing on. And so this text reveals to us the heart of a pastor, right? That he loves the church. The pastor, the missionary, the servant of the Lord loves the church and wants to build the church up and encourage the church to continue in their faith and to be strong in the Lord. But in that encouragement that the pastor is given to the church, it reveals to us some necessities that I want to pull out of this text for you today, activities that are vitally important for your spiritual life, that you need to be doing in your life. And if you're not, you're not going to be strengthened in the Lord. You're not going to be able to continue and to be strong in the Lord. So three activities that Luke, who is writing the book of Acts, is going to reveal to us to strengthen our faith. And so if I were to give us a summary of where we're going with this passage, you can write this down. The believer needs to be strengthened in their faith. The believer needs to be strengthened in their faith. And this is primarily done through the Word of God. It is done primarily through the Word of God, but also by serving the Lord. Serving the Lord, and finally, by worshiping the Lord. Three activities that you need to be involved in immensely, pouring your heart into these three activities if you want your faith to be strengthened in the Lord. So follow me now as we go through this passage. In Acts chapter 20, verse 1, it states that after this uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself. He embraced them. That's the word parakaleo, the word embrace. It's a Greek word for encouragement. So if you have a different translation, it's going to say that he calls the disciples together to encourage them. And then if you look at verse 2, now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them, you see the pattern. The word encouragement is being repeated. And then up in verse 12, after they brought the young man in alive, it says that they were not a little comforted. It's the same Greek word. And so God wants us today to hear a word to strengthen our faith, for us to be encouraged, to be strengthened in the Lord, to continue pressing on. And so it says, after the uproar had ceased. Now, it's been a while since we were together in Acts, but in Acts 19, you remember when Paul was preaching in Ephesus, and as he was preaching, a great revival took place. Many people were getting right with the Lord, and they were burning up their books, the magical books, and a great revival took place. But because that great revival and people were getting saved, what happened was, those who are making a profit from the statues that were being worshipped, they're going to get angry. And so they got angry and they wanted to kill Paul or any other Christian who was a part of that turning them from the idols. And so what they do, they gathered this big mob together and it says this big uproar took place where they were really angry because their livelihood, all the money they were making from these idols, are now gone because Jesus came to Ephesus and changed people's lives. And they turned from their idols. They turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these new believers are here in this city of Ephesus. And they see this uproar. They see what's happening here. And so Paul, being sensitive to the needs of the body of Christ, he wants to encourage them. And this is what Paul has done throughout his ministry, going around after churches were planted. He wants to encourage them to continue in the faith, to be strengthened. And so this is Paul going back to the different areas that he was in to encourage the church to continue serving the Lord and continue in their faith. It's a practice that Paul did. If you look at Acts chapter 14, verse 22, will come on the overhead for you. This was done on Paul's first missionary journey. Look what it says there. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So these are new believers that are being told to continue in the faith, because you're going to have many trials and many tribulations, but you need to continue in the faith. Now, when you see that phrase, leave it up there, Mark. When you see that phrase, continue in the faith, I want you to understand that it doesn't mean that a person who puts their trust in Jesus Christ, who's washed in the blood of Christ, who's been justified, they've been made right with God. When you see that phrase, continue in the faith, it doesn't mean that a person who's been saved, been justified, it doesn't mean that they stop believing and then lose their salvation. That's not what it means. To continue in the faith is simply means that we need to keep living by faith in the Lord. We need to keep pressing on. We need to keep going and not go backwards in our progress in our Christianity. There's many things that can discourage us. There's many things that can come in a believer's life to cause them to not take steps forward in their Christianity, but to take some steps back. One of the main things that Satan will use to weaken our faith in the midst of trials is sin. We give in to that temptation. We give in to that trial and we sin. Sin would have us give up. Sin is a personal thing. It wants to make us give up. It wants to make us call it quits and stop living faithfully for the Lord. And we as believers, think about how long you've known the Lord. Doesn't matter how long you know the Lord. You can get discouraged and want to give up. And you need to be strengthened. You need to keep going. Sin wants to wreck your life and wants to wreck my life and cause us to stop living faithful for the Lord. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort, same word, encourage, exhort one another daily while is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Don't take sin lightly. When you don't live close to Jesus and you don't be disciplined in your walk with the Lord, and you don't have standards and you just give up easily and you hang out with the wrong people or you listen to the wrong things or you're not in the Word of God, you're not serving the Lord, you're not coming to church, and little by little you start to slide away from the Lord. Sin is powerful. And so this scripture is telling us to exhort one another daily. You need to have another believer in your life who's encouraging you to keep pressing on, continuing in the faith, because sin wants to bring you down. And once you allow a little bit of sin into your life because you compromise your standards, little by little, your heart starts getting hard. Sin will harden our hearts. And so we need each other. We need to exhort one another daily to press on, to continue in the faith. And now I love what it says here. If you look at verse 3, it's quite interesting that Paul is encouraging the church. He's encouraging the believers while he himself is going through a trial. It says that he stayed, and this is when he finally gets to Corinth. He stays in Corinth for 3 months, and when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria. He decided to go through Macedonia. So he wants to head to Syria, right? But if he would have taken that ship to Syria, he probably would have died because the Jews were plotting to kill him. And so he finds out all of this stuff is pressing up against him. People want to kill this man, Paul. What is he doing? He's not thinking of himself. He's thinking of the church. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about me. He wants to encourage us. And so it's revealing the heart he has for the church and our need to continue in the faith. And so I want to point out these three activities that are here in our text. I'm not sure how much we'll get done this morning, but it's important that you at least get the 3 points, that we are going to be strengthened in our faith, number one, through the Word of God, and number two, through serving, and number three, through worship. That is how God is going to strengthen our faith. Now look here where when Paul gathers these people together, it says in verse 2 that when he had gone over the region, he encouraged them with what? It says he encouraged them with many words. Many words. Now, Paul's not just making things up. He's not just going to the Reader's Digest magazine and grabbing things from that magazine or talking about what's the latest gossip that's going on in the city that he's at. The many words that Paul is pouring into the life of the church is the Word of God. He is pouring out the Word of God in their life. You see, you and I will never be truly encouraged to continue our journey with the Lord, our walk with the Lord, if we are not saturating and having God's Word being poured into our life. It is God's Word that's going to give you and I the strength to continue going forward with the Lord. We need to saturate our minds and our hearts with the Word of God. And so Paul is using many words, and an illustration of those many words that he's given is found in verses 7 through 12. What happens there? Well, Paul starts, he has to leave the next day to get on a ship to go to Jerusalem because he wants to be there the day of Pentecost, which verse 16 tells us. But he continues speaking them, and his message goes all the way from the early in the day all the way to midnight. Then, remember when Peter was talking about distractions when he was in Myanmar? You know, roosters and chickens were distracting him. Well, look at the distraction that Paul has. This guy falls out a window from the third story, right? Falls dead. So Paul stops speaking for just a moment, right? I'll be right back. Goes outside, embraces this guy, picks him up, and somehow, some way, the Lord gave him the ability to bring him back to life. He brings this guy back to life and says, all right, get back upstairs, right? In other words, just get back upstairs and let's get back to what are we here for? We're here to hear the Word of God. Now get back upstairs, right? Oh, you had a hard day? Oh, this is too bad, right? Get back upstairs. And when he gets back upstairs, right, he comes up, they break bread, they eat, and he talked a long while, even till daybreak, and then he departed. You see, Paul's thinking that this is going to be the last time he's going to see these people, and he loves them. But you know what? How he shows his love for the church? The Word of God. He's given them God's Word, and he's speaking to them for hours upon hours upon hours. And they're sitting there, and it seems that only one guy fell asleep. Maybe more fell asleep, but from the text, all we can see is only one guy fell asleep. And then Paul got him back alive again. And so there, he's pouring out, preaching the Word of God. Now, some believers, I don't think you guys would do this, but some people who sit in the pews, well, you do, but I don't think you would do this. They use this passage to validate why preachers shouldn't preach for a long time. Why? Because if you preach for a long time, what's going to happen? People are going to fall asleep, pastor. So here's a good example, right? People are going to fall asleep. Well, preachers, on the other hand, they use this passage to illustrate that, hold on now, my messages are never as long as Paul's. So you ought to feel grateful to God. Just praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Pastor Gordon doesn't preach as long as Paul preached. You know what? Is it half empty? Is it half full kind of thing? You know, praise the Lord. Right? A second thing that I see here is, you know, again, only one person fell asleep. So that's something to look at. But I don't think this is what we're supposed to learn from this. All right? I see what I see here is that the early church, and so we're going to the book of Acts, right? The book of Acts is revealing to us what the early church is like. What's important to the early church? And so we want, to the best that we can, we want to imitate that and make that a part of our church. We want to be a faithful church. We want to be on mission with the Lord. And so here is the church revealing to us that the Word of God is central in their worship. The Word of God is central, that they put a big emphasis on the Word of God being preached. Paul is going to see them for a little while, and the little bit of time he's spending with them, he ain't wasting time just talking about trivial things. He is pouring the Word of God into their life. You know why? That's a necessity. That's a necessity that every believer has, to have God's Word poured into their life. It's a primary tool that God uses. And so I don't think that every sermon should be as long as Paul's. Don't think that should be a pattern that we do, because the reason why Paul is preaching this long is because he only has one day with them, okay? And then he's going to be leaving. But I believe that the reason why the church placed a great emphasis on the preaching of God's Word is because the Word of God is the primary tool that God uses to either strengthen your faith, to increase your faith, and to give you faith from the get-go. And I want to prove that to you. And so I'm probably just going to get done with one point this morning, all right? Romans 10:17. Listen to this passage carefully, this verse carefully. Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, how does faith come, according to that verse? Paul believes that faith, that your faith and my faith, we would not have faith unless we heard the Word of God. And some kind of miracle takes place in your heart and my heart that all of a sudden we believe something. So you think you're smarter than other people, don't you? Right? You think that you're a better listener than other people. No, God's Word is saying that God performs a miracle in your life and in my life, and that when we hear the Word of God, He produces faith in us so that we look to Jesus and say, "I need Him, and I trust Jesus to be my Savior." Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. Now, just so you know, that this is not just Paul saying this. I want to show you what Peter believes. So we're going to have Peter. I'm sorry, we're going to have Paul. Now we're going to look at Peter. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23, he's also an apostle, right? "Having been born again," you know, in John 3, "unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Same thing. Unless, he says here in 1 Peter 1:23, "having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." If you're with us on Thursday nights, we talked about the parable of the sower, sowing the seed. The seed is the Word of God. The seed of the Word of God coming into your heart and in my heart is what God uses to produce life in you and me. It gives us faith. It strengthens our faith. It increases our faith. Now listen, I got one more guy I want to point out to you. So we have Paul, Peter, now the other heavyweight, James. James 1:18. "Of his own will," God's own will, "he brought us forth by the word of truth." That phrase, "brought us forth," is kind of like God giving birth to you and to me. That's what that word means. "He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So how are we brought forth? How are we given life? How are we born again? How do we get faith? Through the Word of God. God's Word is so important in your life and in my life. The early church strongly believed in the centrality of the preaching of the Word of God. Today, unfortunately, this is looked down upon by many. Many look down upon the preaching of the Word of God. I want to hear a story. I want to hear this illustration. And the only thing people remember sometimes is just the story or the illustration. They do not remember the Word of God. They just want to be tickled in their ears. There seems not to be an appetite for the word of God today. God says that in the last days, listen to me, God says that in the last days, the church would rather have their ears tickled than to hear sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says this, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is Paul giving instruction to Timothy, who is going to be pastoring a church. He's calling all the angels. He says, listen, judgment's coming, Timothy. What do I want you to do? Verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, same word, with all long-suffering and teaching. So focus on the preaching of the word of God. Why? It's a necessity. My friend, fellow believers, you have a necessity in your life. It's the word of God. You need God's word in your life. He says, why should we focus on the preaching of God's word? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. You give a person what they want, this is what they want. Their own desires. Because they have itchy ears, they will heap up, they will store up for themselves teachers. Teachers who will say what they want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the what? The truth. And they'll turn aside to fables, to stories. Tell me another story. Give me another illustration. Tell me that cute little bunny rabbit story again. I want to hear that bunny rabbit story. I want to hear that little puppy story. I want to hear that story, that illustration. And further and further away from hearing the truth. Well, listen to me. If you want your faith built up in the Lord, you need to have a steady, faithful diet of the Word of God being poured out into your life. You need to have your heart and your mind saturated with the Word of God. And that is why Paul is spending this time, even though he knows that he's not going to be living much longer, he's visiting these churches that he's planted, these new churches, and he's saying, you need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. I want to pour the Word of God into your life. It is important in a believer's life and in the church. The reason why, and to show you how important this is, God has given to the church preachers and teachers of the Word of God to help you and I to become spiritually mature. And this is done through the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 17, says this, and he himself, God himself, has given some as a gift to the church, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. There it is. Why? For the equipping, for the teaching and producing in you the ability for what? For the saint, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The reason why you are getting God's word, the reason why God even gives you his word, or I, is for the work of the ministry. Do you realize that's why you know God? Do you realize that's why God gives you his truth? He doesn't want you to keep the truth to yourself. He wants you to pour that truth out into someone else's life. You're given the truth to equip you for the work of the ministry. And then he also says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build you up, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to continue in your faith and not give up. What is the tool that God is using? He's using the Word of God. You need a faithful, daily diet of the Word of God. And he goes on to say in verse 13 that it just keeps on going. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. So God doesn't want us to stay the way we are. He wants us to become perfect. Perfect. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ is that perfect man. And listen, look at verse 14. That we should no longer be children, immature children, spiritually immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And so you have all these enemies of your faith that are all around you. You have false teaching all around you. You have people who are going to be giving you things that are not true. And so you need to pour God's word into your life to make you spiritually mature so that when false teaching comes to you, you're not going to be tossed about like a ship in an ocean that's being pushed all around by the wind, pushing that ship everywhere. God wants you to be stable like a rock. Christ is your rock. Get the teachings of God's word in your life. Take availability of all the times that God's word is being given to you so that you could become spiritually mature. In fact, I would say a sign that you are in a good church is that that church places a high value on the preaching and teaching of God's word. Now, you can go to other churches and they place a high value on the worship or the media. And you can be entertained and you can get that. And that's great. That's only going to last you so long, though. A daily saturation and in dose of the word of God being poured into your life by godly men who love you is what you really need. You know, when you're growing up, your mom and dad are all saying, you always would say to us, you can get this or you can get this. You can, you know, your friends will give you what you want, or maybe the devil will give you what you want, but mom and dad, and just like God, will give you what you need, right? What do we need? We need God's word in our life. We need God's word in our life. It's a necessity that God wants you to pour into your life. Now, I'm going to end the message there this morning, because the next 2 points will take another 15, 20 minutes, and I don't want to keep you guys all here that long. And we have a great announcement to make this morning, so I don't want to take much of your time this morning. But listen, I pray that you see this, that God used the message, the abbreviation of this message this morning to see you for you to see how important God's word is in your life. So then, if that's convinced you, okay, let's go with that. If God's convinced you that you see the need for your heart and your mind to be saturated in the Word of God, then you need to make some changes in your scheduling. You need to make some changes in your planning and the things that you prioritize in your life. How do you show that God's word is important to you? How do you show that you need God's word to be given to you every day? You need a daily dose of God's word to have your mind and your heart saturated so he will keep you from sinning. He will keep you on the right pathway. How do you show that? Well, it shows that maybe you have to be on the road at 6 so you don't catch traffic on the highway. Well, maybe that means you need to get up a little earlier and spend time in God's word and read it and pray and ask God to teach you this. Maybe you need to stay up a little later and turn the TV off and get in God's word and allow God's word to be poured in your life. Maybe that means that you need to say, hey, pastor, I need to be discipled. I want to be discipled because I'm weak in my faith and I'm making the wrong choices in life and I want to make the right choices and I need to be discipled. You need to come to us. You need to come to us. We can't read your minds. We want to be here to help you. But you have to come to us and let us know that you see this. I need God's word in my life. And it was an activity that the church placed a great emphasis on over and over again. God's word, God's word, God's word. So I'm going to close in a word of prayer. If God has spoken to your heart, you need to talk to me. You need some prayer. You come forward during the invitational song and we'll help you out. Lord, I give you thanks. I give you praise for blessing us this morning, allowing us to gather together to hear your word, to be encouraged by being reminded to know how weak we are and how desperate we are that we need your word in our life. And may we not just be hearers of the word, but may we be doers of it. May we see how important it is to hear your word. And I pray, God, that you would speak to hearts now, that as every head is bowed and as we are thinking through what you just said to us, May you draw hearts to you, Lord. May our worship not just be superficial, but may it be real. And may we turn to you, Lord, and say, Lord, I need what Pastor just said this morning. I need to get help. Lord, we need help. May you speak to hearts today, and may the truth be made known to them. Encourage us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to come down in front as we sing this song, and if you feel the need to come forward, you do that. Why don't we all stand? Spirit of prayer, just be thinking about what you heard as our media department works on getting that set up.
Father, we again come to you
and we seek your forgiveness, we seek your strength, we seek encouragement. May we not become just another statistic of a professing believer that doesn't continue in the faith. But may we take the encouragement that we heard this morning to continue in the faith, to be strengthened in our faith through the hearing, the preaching, the daily intake of the Word of God. And so I pray, God, that you will bless us to see that need. May we submit to you, Lord, and may you have your way in all of our hearts, that we would be the people, the church that you want us to be. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Good? All right. You come forward if you need prayer.
Glory, how far will forgiveness abound? walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. You are so patient with me, Lord. As I walk with you, I'm learning what your grace really means. The price that I could never pay was paid at Calvary. So instead of trying to repay you, I'm learning to simply obey you by giving up my life to you for all that you've given to me. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace.
Let's pray together. Lord, that's a great song. Remind us of your grace. Thank you for the truth that we know that you're always going to be there. When we fall, we know you are a good God, a gracious God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, promises that you are going to be there. Your grace is sufficient for us. But Lord, you've given us your word to feed us, to nourish our souls, to make us the godly man and the godly woman that you want us to be, to become mature, to become more like Jesus. And that will only take place as we bring your word into our hearts and lives and apply it to our lives and allow it to change our life. Oh, God, I pray that everyone here this morning was exhorted, encouraged to make that a priority in their life. Help us to continue in our faith, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Please have a seat. We're going to have the ushers come forward, and we're going to take our morning offering. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we don't want you to feel uncomfortable. You don't have to give unless the Lord has placed it upon your heart to give. This is an offering that we take every Sunday. Regular attenders and members plan, and this gift that they give to the Lord helps support our missionaries, helps pay the bills around here, and so we appreciate your sacrificial giving. And I'm going to pick on a new guy today. Someone that you're going to meet in a little while, but I'm going to introduce him to you. Rich Gibbons, why don't you ask the Lord's blessing upon this offering, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come here today to worship and praise you. We want to ask for this offering that we're collecting now, that it would be used by us with your wisdom. Spread the good news to those who need it. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Good job, man. Jamie's next. All right. Just a couple of announcements you see in your bulletin. By the way, notice the new bulletins have the little tear-off thing. If you have a prayer request that you would like to share with the church, just write it on the back and put your name in, on the front of that there, and find the offering plates and put it in there somewhere. All right? So get your prayers to us. And men, if you're available, we have the men's Bible study that will be at 7 o'clock here at the church. And I also want to point out to you, next month, May 16th, we will be doing an open-air outreach. Eric Briscoe is going to be here training us, showing us how to, what we're going to do is we're going to go somewhere in Dedham, and we're going to do a kids program like we did in Rosendale. And so we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to do it locally here in Dedham and have a kids program, meet people in the neighborhood. And so Eric will be here, as it says there, at 10 o'clock, give us some training, show us how to do it, what to do to be prepared for it. And so May 16th, put it on your calendar. I'd love to see a great amount of people be involved in that. All right. As you see, there's also a little handout here to know what steps you can take. If you would like to join the church, Calvary Baptist Church, to become a member, you can follow that, those steps that are there. I also gave four reasons why you should join the church. You can read that too. All right. Now, I have a wonderful announcement to make. We have a young family that basically just got married not too long ago, right? And they want to join the church. So they've taken the steps. They've both believers in, in Jesus Christ. They've been baptized. They've met with the leadership, and they've taken all the steps that are necessary. And the leadership wants to present them to you guys who are members of Calvary Baptist Church to give your right hand of fellowship and to say amen to the giving. So why don't Rich and Tanisha come on up here? This is Rich and Tanisha Gibbons. And they are a blessing to know. They've been serving already at Calvary, getting involved, and they officially want to become members and become part of the family of God here at Calvary. So if you are a member of Calvary Baptist, and we need to do a formal thing here, just say amen. Amen. If you have no problem with them becoming members, I didn't think so. And so we're going to all of us want to be all stand up. We're going to sing this closing song. And what I want you to do after the song is make sure you come on up and you welcome them to Calvary Baptist. All right? So we're going to sing. I'll stand up here with you so you don't feel like you're all alone.
Through the gates, enter in, hear and praise, come before him, come bring your song, we are his people, he is our God. Good and his love.
You got me a mic? All right. No mic? All right, here we go. Let me pray the Lord's blessing upon you. You have a wonderful day. Make sure you come up and give some love to the Gibbons. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day together. Do pray that we would see that your word is like food, like drink, and it will refresh our souls. May we long to be in your word so that we find that joy, find the treasure of your word, and may it become a treasure to us. So I pray you would work in our hearts, that we would become strong men and women of God, because we love your word and we're in your word and your word is feeding us. So bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Make sure you say hi to these guys.